Happy birthday. Today is Pentecost, and it is often recognized as the birthday of the Christian church. It is a day of spirit. It is a day of many voices. It's a day of new things and disorientation and surprise. It's a day to be drawn out of comfortable places and a day to take some risks. And so Dwayne and I have joined together today, two voices, one reflection. We wanted to do this for a while, and this is the day. And I thank Dwayne in advance for his willingness and flexibility to take a risk and to participate in something different. If you'll join me now in a moment of prayer. Loving Spirit, mover of hearts, one who quickens and stirs our souls, lifts our spirits, presence of peace and bringer of understanding and sense, one who opens before us a cloud of possibilities, who carries us past the barriers that divide us, barriers of language, culture, nationality, and belief, and human-created obstacles. Magnify your presence within us. Bring us together, join us together in one spirit. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be beautiful and fruitful in your sight. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and start previously in Acts of the Apostles. If you will recall from last week, after the period known as the Ascension, the known and named disciples of Jesus, along with many others, the family of Jesus, mother and brothers, and several women, certain women, were gathered together in prayer, in intentional prayer, because their world had changed dramatically, and their hopes for a new future were dashed, leaving them in a seeming unreal space of gloom and doom. And it was this time of communal prayer following the ascension that very likely may have helped them to see more clearly and to move past and rise above some of the illusions and falsehoods that may have surrounded them. We learn a few verses later in Acts 1, verse 15, that this prayer meeting went on for several days. We learn later that eventually 120 people were present, giving the impression and the feel of a growing prayer service of a type that one might actually call a revival. Now, I mentioned the Azusa Street Revival last week, a historic prayer meeting, a revival that took place in Los Angeles in 1906. The 1906 Azusa Street Revival is especially notable for three things, I think. First, the diversity of the gathering. It was a mixed group. Men, women, children, people of color, African American, Latinos, Asians, Caucasians, all worshiping together. Now that was scandalous and disturbing to those observing. Remember, this is before the civil rights movement and desegregation, and all these people were together in one room, sitting together. And it was before women even had the right to vote in this country that certain women were actually leading worship on Azusa Street. This was definitely amazing and disturbing and far out of the ordinary, and it caused some people to claim that it was the work of the devil or crazy people or drunk people. Now, the second notable thing is the length of the service. The services went on around the clock, not for days, but for well over 8 years. That's a long service.
Yes. Don't get any idea.
Good point.
Some of us won't be here.
Indeed. But over the 8 years, crowds growing and shrinking, coming and going and blending. And the third thing, speaking in tongues, known, mixed, and unknown languages. One of my professors even speculated that this amazing modern movement of the Holy Spirit in 1906 is the precursor and what eventually gave birth to the liberation movements in the 1960s. Civil rights, women's rights, gay and lesbian rights. Now, regardless, that long and colorful Azusa Street revival indeed gave birth to the modern Pentecostal movement. And that's a movement from which our own MCC founder, Reverend Troy Perry, sprang from. Starting this denomination in 1968 with a mixed group of 12 people, representatives from all our many tribes, composed of gay men, lesbians, bisexuals, and trans individuals. And people called him crazy, amazing, and disturbing. And all who call on the name of our God will be saved. An alternate translation, all who call on the name of our God will be liberated. And I do believe that God is about liberation, being saved, saved from ourselves, liberated from the shackles of all the things that hold us back and hold us down. So back to the disciples. The lengthy and diverse prayer meeting after the ascension may very well have been the catalyst, the breath on the coals of the Spirit that gave birth to the first Christian Pentecost, which began with the Jewish Pentecost. Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, a harvest festival of first fruits, as well as a celebration of the anniversary of God giving the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was a pilgrimage holiday which called every devout Jew from all over creation to come to Jerusalem in celebration. That's why there were people from all over the land, and also why they've drunk too much wine. That reference is so relevant because there were lots of parties, lots of joy, lots of celebration that were happening. So in the midst of all this, we kind of open into a space where things don't quite seem to make sense, and it's indeed conceivable that someone somewhere may have been a little tipsy. Not quite right. Things seemed confusing and unreal. What did this mean, and what was happening?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. What was happening? Yes, and what is happening? Pastor, as you know, this is about the descending of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. That was the beginning of the church. But you know, the Holy Spirit showed up long before Pentecost in the New Testament. The first time, there are three times that we actually focus on the Holy Spirit being in the New Testament. And the first time is Mary. Mary was with child by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think what Mary must have been thinking. What is happening? All right? And the second time that we see the Holy Spirit is Mary, pregnant, going to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. And Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. And when Mary walks into the room, John the Baptist leaps in Elizabeth's belly, and she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she knows immediately that the baby that Mary is carrying is the Messiah. Think about Elizabeth. What is happening? The third time we see the Holy Spirit before Pentecost is when John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, and the Holy Spirit descends on them in the shape of a dove, and the voice of God comes from that dove and says, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus goes into the woods filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what the onlookers were thinking. What is happening? Then we talk about Pentecost. We talk about the disciples and the Holy Spirit descending on them. There's air, there's wind, there's flames of tongues of fire over their head. And you see what happens when you have a tongue of fire over your head. Tongues of fire over their heads. And they're speaking in tongues. What is happening? But you know, these are all famous people in the Bible. This is Mary, this is Elizabeth, this is Jesus, this is the disciples. What about the rest of us? What about us? How do we get the Holy Spirit? If you read on in the passage today, you find that Peter says that we have to repent our sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now, baptism was very common back then. It was something that people did sometimes before they went into the temple. They got baptized before they did certain rituals, even before they would make sacrifices. Baptism was common. But what was said here was you had to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So, what does that mean? I get baptized in the name of Jesus. I repent. What is happening that will show me I have the Spirit? Well, Paul spends a lot of the New Testament talking about that and talking about the gifts of Spirit. And as we heard in the reading today, the gifts of Spirit include people will prophesy. People will have dreams of the future. He goes on to say that people will have knowledge they didn't have before, or they're able to speak boldly of God on the spur of the moment, or they will speak in tongues. And these are all external ways that we show or are able to show that Spirit dwells with us or in us. But what about here? What is happening here that we know we have the Holy Spirit in us? So when you read Acts, understand that the Greek word in Acts that they used for spirit was pneuma. And pneuma translated means wind. Sometimes it's translated as exhale, as breath, as the breath of life. Sometimes even translated as tempest, strong wind. But in the book of John, the Greek word that's used for spirit is, I don't believe I forgot it already. It slipped my mind. Is, that's why I brought my notes, parakletos. Parakletos means the one who is called beside to help. Another translation of the word parakletos is friend. To think of the Holy Spirit as your friend. We often think of it as this grandiose thing, this God-like thing. But what if the Holy Spirit was truly our friend? John tells us that the Spirit will live with us, abide with us, and live in us. What does it mean to have a friend in us, the Spirit in us, to help us, to help bring out parts of us when they're necessary? Have you had experiences where you've said, I don't know where the words came from, but I just opened my mouth and there they were, and it worked? Have you ever had an experience where you said, I never would have believed I'd had the strength to get through that, but I got through it? Again, Spirit, bringing out a part of us when we needed it. Have you ever had an opportunity or a time to say, you know, something just told me I should do this, and I did it, and it was the right thing? Again, Holy Spirit, that friend within us, bringing part of us out when it's needed. So if we trust the Holy Spirit, if we trust that the Holy Spirit will give us what we need when we need it, then we have the opportunity to grow. We have the opportunity to be free, to be whoever we want to be. And I believe that Spirit liberates us.
Yes, yes, and I do believe God is about liberation. Spirit is about liberation, saving us from the bonds of doubt, freeing us from the noises that keep us from listening to one another, breaking all the old rules, doing a new thing, making use of all of us together, many voices, helping us make sense from the confusion, make sense from the swirl of voices around us, and draw meaning from the well of silence, the quiet spaces stretched in between, and the stillness within our own hearts, revealing wonders before our eyes and joys to our ears with hints and dreams in mysterious ways, as near as our own breath, a spark, a dancing flame, bringing warmth to a community. A diverse community drawn together by the breath of the Holy Spirit, coming together, assembling at the sounds of the Spirit, rushing around us, saving us, liberating us from all the things that keep us back and hold us down.
Yes. And what holds us down? What holds us back? Sometimes sorrow, sometimes depression. Sometimes not believing that we truly can be all that we can be. Sometimes believing that we don't have everything we need to be successful. Sometimes fear. Sometimes feeling that our body, our emotions, our spirit are weak. Sometimes feeling alone. All of those things can hold us back. But if we think of Holy Spirit, if we think of Spirit as being that friend within who brings out the parts of us when we need them, then we can confront those things that hold us back. We can overcome those things that hold us back by listening to Spirit. There is a Catholic priest who named Father John who has a blog that I stumbled onto, and he wrote about this. And he specifically said, as a friend, Holy Spirit is the comforter, for a friend comforts us in sorrow. As a friend, the Holy Spirit is the counselor, for a friend counsels us to be our best. As friend, the Holy Spirit is the intercessor, for a friend in Christ prays and intercedes for us. As friend, the Holy Spirit is the advocate, for a friend stands up for us and defends us. As a friend, the Holy Spirit is the strengthener, for friends help us to be strong. And as a friend, the Holy Spirit is the standby, meaning the one who can be relied on. So as we rely on the Spirit, as we trust that the Spirit will bring these things out when we need them, we begin to grow. We begin to be free. We begin to be liberated from those things that hold us back. And we start to look at others and be able to see the Holy Spirit working in others. So as I see the Spirit working in me, and I look at you, and I see the Spirit working in you, you seeing the Spirit working in me, we begin to understand each other.
Yes. Yes. And how do we understand one another? What is the language that we speak? You know, when Heather gets together with other audiophiles, they speak their own audio language. It's a language of tweeters and woofers and DBs and vacuum tubes and bi-amping, which sounds much better than what it is. But they understand each other. They understand each other just as architects, engineers, theologians, poets, preachers and musicians speak their own language, understood by others within their own world. When we open our mouths, what words come out? Do we speak the language of judgment? Do we speak the language of woundedness, the language of self-importance, or the language of insecurity, the language of pain, hate, exclusion, the language of gossip and drama? I know no one here speaks that. What language do you speak? Because the best way to not be misunderstood, but to be understood, is to speak the same language.
Yes, yes. And Paul told us about those languages when he talked about the fruit of the Spirit. As we look at Spirit, as we accept Spirit, and we allow it to grow within us, we begin to trust it, and we begin to see the Spirit in each other, and as we begin to trust and learn and understand each other, there is an ultimate end to that, and Paul calls that the fruit of Spirit. And Paul says, but the fruit of Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. And you know what? Each of those things is a language. You know, Pastor, in this congregation, we have people who can speak the language of joy.
Indeed.
We have people who can speak the language of patience, of peace, of kindness. We have people who speak goodness. We have people who speak faithfulness. But as a group, as a community, as a church, we must all learn to speak the language of love.
Yes, and we as a community have work to do. Each one of us. to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the good news, to speak the language of love, to do all we do in the language of love. Some of us preach and some of us pray.
Some of us sing, some of us sway.
Some of us make music, some of us make cakes and pies.
Some of us feed the homeless, some of us harmonize.
Some of us clean the church or serve on the board.
Some of us usher or play the keyboard or play the flute.
Some of us jump in wherever and whenever needed, but we are each one of us ministers.
We are ministers of the Spirit.
We are each one of us ministers.
Proclaiming the good news.
With so many gifts in so many ways, like so many languages, but each, if spoken in the language of love, is understood.
And so all of us, so diverse and so different, all of us with different life experiences, different perceptions of the world, different styles, different languages, all came to this place today, not really knowing what was going to happen, Amen. But just trusting that Spirit would give us what we need, provide for us what we need. This has been a spiritual experience. And as I came to this, not knowing what would happen, what may happen in this experiment, I decided I had to let Spirit guide me. I had to turn it over to Spirit. And as I did that, I became free. Free of any expectation, free of any bar that I had to achieve. And that allowed me to listen. Not only listen to what Pastor had to say, but to listen to what Spirit had to say. And it allowed me to tap into the language of love of Spirit of this place. And while we were all ministered to by Spirit, I believe we ministered to each other.
Indeed.
And I thank you for this opportunity.
Amen. I thank you. In our times of despair, loss, and uncertainty, may we join together in a community of faith, finding comfort in prayer and in each other. Because we have work to do. What language do you speak? When we open our mouths, may we speak in the language of love. May it be so. Stay up here with me. Now let's take a moment for community sharing this morning. Other voices, hearing your thoughts, hearing what you have to say, even just a single word. Raise your hand. Please speak up. And please be brief.
The Pride that's coming up, I just want, this has nothing to do with today, I apologize for this, but with Pride coming up, I think everybody here and everybody in our community should watch their surroundings. Just be safe, be careful, be cautious. If you feel something, know that something's going to happen. Just be aware.
Thank you for sharing that. Yes?
In the Catholic tradition, this corresponds to confirmation, a word that means, from Latin, that comes from confirmo, mm-hmm. which means to make durable, make solid. So basically, that's basically what happened to the apostles when the flames appeared on.
Thank you for sharing. We have many ministers here.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Thank you all for doing this experiment, this interesting approach to Spirit this morning. It's very, very interesting. Thank you.
Two artists get together and do a work in common, what we call synthesis of their two styles, something I see here as you guys did this. I do continue to experiment. Also, it's been 6 months since my mother died, and I wish to thank all the congregation for the love and care they have instilled into my life. It has meant so much to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. I was listening carefully because the part of Christianity really that's always spoken to me is the spirit part of the triumvirate there. And because the personifications of the other ones just always got in my way. And it was really lovely to hear you all talking about it as language and as love and as wind and just all the things that to me seem about the truth of this religion, if you will. But thank you for doing what you did. It was also like watching a little dance.
As for the little dance, there's an educational anthropologist who says that conversation is like climbing a tree that's climbing you back. And I think that interaction in the Holy Spirit, both the interaction that we have when we are in worship shouldn't be something that's unidirectional. It should be something that's an interactive experience where you are claiming God and God is claiming you back. But your message also made me think, obviously, of how we communicate together as a body, that language of love, and how when you are in the Holy Spirit, when you allow yourself to be open to the Holy Spirit, when you are in interaction with another soul, then you are not afraid to be step by step, by faith, climbing back, not afraid, not knowing what the next move of the other person is going to be, but by faith, being able to go forward in the language of love. So, thanks for telling
me
that. Amen. Very nice. And that actually was what this was.
That's the question.
I mean, literally, Reverend Emma said to me, "Would you like to co-preach?" And that's pretty much all we did as far as I said yes, and that was it. And with very little interaction, we trusted that because our languages are different, we trusted Spirit would be the combination that would work.
Yeah.
Others?
I was, my friend recently visited MCC with me. And when she walked out, she goes, "Wow, it's like everyone kind of knows their place and what they're good at, and they're sharing it with people." And she said she never felt so welcome at church, but not just from the doorway, but all the way to when she left. And no matter the size of our congregation, we always seem to find people who not just get stuck doing something, but they really embrace it and share their gifts. And you all shared your gifts this morning, and she was just blown away how everybody was.
Thank you.
I was fortunate enough to have a friend who was a born-again Christian, evangelical, who used to take me to her church when I was in high school. And I felt ostracized from God and religion and humanity for a long time after that experience.
I was just going to say that I like this idea of, from the poem, of Pentecost coming again. And you guys talked about that. I think anytime we reach out to understand another, a different language, a different person, a different culture, there's a little bit of Pentecost. That's the Spirit working.
Amen.
I love how both last week and this week, practically the entire congregation has had a response back. I love to see how we continue to find ways to open up to each other.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love that the Holy Spirit is synonymous with comfort. And you know, when you're in need of comfort, I sometimes, you know, picture that whole idea of, you know, the descending of a dove or the descending of a blanket or whatever I need in that moment of comfort as the Holy Spirit not only stepping in but being available to provide that aspect of the love of God during those times. And so I've always been drawn to and connected to that idea of the Holy Spirit.
Indeed, when we are in distress and we do not know what to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And you were glad you did.
I'm very glad.
Indeed.
Yep.
Indeed. Yes.
I had a really rough week working about 15-hour days, special projects that needed to be done. So this morning, after I took Billy Bob for a walk, I decided to go back to bed and ignored the alarm, and the second one, the third one. And Billy Bob comes and looks me in the face. And I said, "Jerry, what time is it?" He says, 10 o'clock. I said, "Oh, Lord." That gave me about 20 minutes to get dressed, shower, shave, the whole thing. Made it down here in 20 minutes from Herndon. And no cops. I was wondering why I was so driven to get here. Now I know.
Thank you all for your comments this morning. And my comment is, I want to again thank Dwayne for his willingness to extend himself and his willingness to be in the midst and take a risk. Thank you. And now, if you'll please rise as you're able and join together in our community song, Holy Spirit.